You would not anger an invisible roommate. We have to remember that ghosts are actually people. They're people or animals that lived before that made the wrong choice to stay earthbound.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, speaking with Rob Guttrow. Now, Rob is somebody in the world of psychic mediums, paranormal, all this kind of thing. And we've talked to people in that world before. I think even like 4 or 5 years ago, we even talked to a pet psychic before. But Rob is an interesting one because he's written quite a few books on the topic. And then he also comes at it from a scientific background. He actually was a meteorologist as a career and realized he had these abilities. We're going to get into all that. But he's going to share just the scientific side of things. You know, this podcast is not one to say that paranormal and psychic abilities and all that is real or it's not. It's one to allow people to share their unique stories. And I think Rob comes to it in a unique way because he does have that science background. He does have that meteorology background, and he wanted to make sense of it all, just feeling and you know, those qualitative reasoning ideals didn't matter to him of why he believed these things. It had to come down to actual logic and science, and he's kind of talked a little bit about that. So I thought that would be an interesting conversation to bring to the podcast, and it certainly was. He goes into just his thoughts, the books that he's written about exploring some haunted locations, the books he's written about the pet readings he's done. He's gotten so popular with that. I think he said he's a year booked out when it comes to pet readings. I really, really enjoyed speaking with him, learning about these haunted locations, learning about some of the really unique stories that he has about some of the readings he's done for people's cherished pets. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. If you haven't already, if this is your first time listening, go subscribe, follow along on Apple or on Spotify. Leave a written review on Apple, helps a ton. Leave a 5-star rating, like that a ton as well. Follow along on Instagram, on TikTok, Not Enough Podcast, all those places. But here is Rob Guttrow. Mr. Guttrow, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jackson?
I'm good. Hardest question of the evening, just introduce yourself before we unpack it all.
I'm Rob Guttrow. By trade, I'm actually a meteorologist, so I'm a scientist, but I retired from that. So full-time, I am a medium, a paranormal investigator, and an author of 12 true paranormal books based on my experiences.
No, I love that. And I've talked to people in the past in the world of paranormal, whether they're mediums, whether they're, you know, quote unquote ghost hunters, whether they've been on reality TV. So I've covered that world a little bit, but I've never talked to anybody that's obviously brought meteorology and brought more science into it. So I'm excited about that side of things. I also have talked to one pet medium in the past. It was almost 3 years ago now. She was actually from England, so she brought a little bit of high class to the conversation, but we had a really, really good conversation there. So I'm interested to hear about that side of things too. But I want to start kind of with meteorology. How did you get involved in meteorology?
Well, I grew up in New England, and New England is known for its hurricanes, its blizzards, its heat waves, its droughts. So if you wait half an hour, the weather will change. I wanted to understand it and then use that to help protect people.
I think that's awesome for sure. And you mentioned in an email that you were a meteorologist, but not just, I was thinking, you know, when I first read that, you know, you were on the local news station, maybe you were at some point, but you mentioned you were a meteorologist for NASA. What does that look like?
Yeah, I did that for almost a quarter century. It was behind the scenes kind of things. And I actually worked in communications. So I was actually reading and editing all of the press releases that had to do with physics, and everything, of course, has to do with physics. So also earth sciences. I managed the NASA hurricane page for 15 years that spanned the globe. Before that, I worked for the Weather Channel. I was a weather broadcast meteorologist, so I've been around.
So if we look in the archives far enough back, we're going to see you on TV talking about the next big storm coming in, right?
No, because I had a face for radio, so I was on the Weather Channel radio network.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, that's you did mention that you were on radio in the past. No, I think that's awesome. That's why I do a podcast. I've got a face for podcasting too. So I like that. I want to talk about, pretty quickly into your transition into, paranormal and being a medium. But I know that you've made that full shift and an author as well. If you haven't, if you're not already doing enough, you're also an author. I know you did the shift after you retired, but were you doing both at one point?
Yeah, I was for since 2010, I was doing both. So yeah, 15, about 14 years, the last 14 years, I was doing both. I published my first book at the end of 2009, and talked to a paranormal group, presented it. They asked me to join as a medium, so I did, and then it snowballed from there. So that was all in my part time, and weekends, but. Now it's the whole day.
Yeah, and I guess were you able to kind of keep those worlds relatively separate, or you didn't necessarily have to? I just wonder if there's a world where there's a lot of people at the at NASA or at the Weather Channel back then that would have been shocked to know what Rob did on the weekends.
No, I never talked about it. Because a lot of scientists have issues with it, and I respect that, but I have used my knowledge of science to explain a lot of the things that happen in the paranormal, from cold spots to why ghosts get stuck and left behind, to other things.
Yeah. So what did the transition from, full-time meteorologist to this world, what was that like? 'Cause it's obviously a very different type of thing. And did, your passion for this kind of move you into retiring earlier than you planned, or was it just kind of a natural progression, or what's that look like?
Oh no, I'm old, so I got to retire, at the right time, and I had been planning it for about 4 years, so I mean, it really just opened me up to do a lot more things. I do lectures, I teach paranormal courses at night at two different adult education schools. I write blogs every day. I populate social media sites, seven social media sites daily. I do videos, I do appearances, fundraisers. So I'm crazy busy.
Yeah, well, you joke that you're old, but I think you're too busy to get old. So I think you got a lot going on. I like it. What you know you I know that you kind of veered towards and specialized in the world of being a pet medium. Why that specialization?
So, a couple of reasons. First of all, I realized I had this ability when I was a kid. When I was 13 years old, I saw my grandfather appear to me 7 months after I saw him in his casket at his wake. So, something that freaks you out. It turns out that this ability runs in my mother's side of the family. Shelved it in 2005. I had a puppy. He's on one of the banners behind me. In my Pets in the Afterlife series, and he passed away. Unfortunately, his leash opened when I was walking him. He was killed by a car, and then he blew the doors off my ability. He taught me how pets communicate from the afterlife. So I used that to try and teach other pet parents what signs to look for to help them in their grieving process.
Yeah, and you. Anytime I talk to people that talk about psychic abilities or being a medium, I always like to ask just about your thoughts on, is this a learned thing? You talk about how you inherit it from your family, so maybe not. But in your world, is it a learned thing? Is it an innate ability? Is it something that's passed down? I've talked to people that have written books to teach people how to be a medium. So how do you feel about how people develop those skills?
I do think it's both, actually. I think that you can inherit the ability and you can choose to refine it or use it or not use it. And on the other hand, we all have the ability to be sensitive to things around us. So you can learn what to recognize, and you really have to trust your feelings. You can't discount things. I've learned that when it comes to spirits and giving signs, there's no such thing as a coincidence. But the point about trusting your gut, for instance, Jackson, if you've ever walked into a crowded room of people, you likely find yourself saying hello to somebody or waving to somebody or wanting to talk to somebody, and conversely, staying away from others. You just don't want to engage with them. And what's happening there is that you're reading their emotional energy. You're reading their energy, and you are finding out if it jives with yours or not. And mediums just read emotional energy of people and pets who passed over.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, emotional energy and trusting your gut and kind of refining those type of things, which isn't the most, I guess, scientific. And, you know, the cool thing, then you've already mentioned it, as you know, as a meteorologist, you're able to bring science into things and science mm-hmm. into the world of being a medium and in the paranormal world. Talk a little bit more about what that means, and I guess how it's brought potentially a little bit more credibility to the things that you do.
Sure. So as a scientist, it's very important for me to prove everything that I get or understand how things work. So what I've come to realize is that our physical bodies have a lot of energy within them. I mean, if you think of cell splitting, if you think of how thoughts are little electrical impulses that can be measured scientifically. So there's a law in thermodynamics called the law of conservation of energy that states energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So that said, it can apply to living things. And what I found out is that the energy within us couples with our memories and our knowledge and our personality. And then we are given a choice after our physical body dies. We can choose to either stay earthbound, and that's what I call a ghost. And I've made a distinction here. At a fixed place that they're familiar with, or we can cross over and join the energies of the cosmos or heaven or the other side, whatever you want to call it. There's also a difference and a similarity in the use of energy for both of those entities, and I can explain that. So both of them use physical energies, heat, light, water, and electricity. Those are physical energies that entities, either earthbound ghosts or spirits who've crossed over, will use to get strong enough to communicate. So you may have seen ghost hunting programs. Well, they'll play with the lights. Some will turn faucets on and off and do various other things, make noises and so forth. Although both ghosts and earthbound spirits, like our grandparents or great-grandparents, will use those physical energies too, the difference is in emotional energies that they use. Now, emotional energy, every emotion has an energy. So ghosts, spirits rather, who have crossed over, use faith, love, and hope. Those are the things that power them. That enables them who have passed away to come back and visit us. But earthbound ghosts use negative emotional energy. That is fear, anxiety, depression, and anger. And those things will fuel a ghost. And it makes sense really when you think of it, because if you go into a house you know is haunted and you're anxious and you're nervous, you're powering that ghost with your emotional energy.
Let's kind of just focus into the medium side of things, the readings. Talk about what does that look like in your world? You know, everybody's kind of has explained things a little bit differently. Some people have, you know, moved it into the new century and do it through Zoom as well. What does your readings look like?
Oh, gosh, no, I'm not quite that engaging with my readings. I like specialize in pets. I do readings for pets. Although I investigate homes for earthbound human ghosts to try and help them cross over, I don't deal with humans in spirit, the ones that have crossed over to do readings, because people have too many hangups. Instead, I specialize in pets because they're nothing but love. And in order for me to do a reading, I ask people to send me a picture of their pet, their pet's name, and any questions they may have. And then I need to focus on the pet. And Reiki masters do this too. They will focus on somebody in order to get information. They're energy workers. So I focus on the pet, and whatever comes to me is what I convey.
The pets that you're focusing on, are they living, or are these pets that passed away?
Only the pets that passed away.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So pets, people who work with pets that are alive are, I call them animal communicators. That's a different gift. I don't have that gift. I can only communicate with my three dogs.
So obviously, when, you know, in life, animals aren't doing a lot of, you know, speaking in English. So my question to you is, when you're talking to them, is it a kind of a conveying emotions, or are you actually hearing words?
So it's both, really. So we need to think about how we raise a pet and what kind of environment the pet lives in. And for instance, I'm a dog dad, so I'll address dogs. We take them to school for obedience. We take them to the vet. We teach them routine, like dinner time, when to go out, when to go for a walk. We teach them words. We teach them obedience. They know all kinds of things that they pick up from us. And because they have that intelligence, and they do retain these things. I mean, you know, when you walk into a house and there's a dog that's trained, and the pet parent says sit, that dog will sit because he knows the word and he knows what to do. So I cite Dr. Stanley Coren in my Pets in the Afterlife series of books, because he wrote books called The Intelligence of Dogs and How Dogs Think. And he analyzed their behavior. And he concluded that dogs have the intelligence of a 3 to 5 year old human child.
So without going into any kind of specific details, can you share any kind of, I guess, interesting things that have came out of these readings that you've done?
Oh, gosh, sure. So my books are filled with them. After I do readings, and pet parents are gracious enough to let me share the reading or part of the reading to help people learn what signs to recognize. So here's a couple of crazy things for you. There was a black lab that I did a reading for a gentleman, and the black lab gave me a whole bunch of information. But one thing that stood out was the number 512. And I told the pet parent, I said, that number is special and it means something to either you or him. It could be a month and a day or a time or something else. I have no idea. I said, but you'll realize what that is. And he didn't know right off the bat. But 8 months later, he emailed me and said, you may not remember me, but I'm the Black Lab's dog dad. And you gave me the number 512. I didn't know what it was. He said, I figured it out. He said, I am actually a doctor. And he said, I was in my office today and one of my patients came in, and my patient had suffered from a collapsed lung. And he said, as I was writing the information down or typing it up, he said, the code for collapsed lung was 512. And that's what his dog passed away from.
That's cool. I like that. You said your books are filled with them. So give us one more, if you will. And then I'm going to say, everyone look at the books.
Well, I can give you a whole bunch of them, but my favorite one is one I've talked about a lot. There's a cat named Buddy, and his mom, Ingrid, wrote me, was very, very close to this cat. She didn't have any other cats. So this was her heart cat, if you will. That's what a pet is that is your closest to out of all the pets you have. So when I was connecting with Buddy, Buddy told me about a word that I never heard before. And the word was mala, M-A-L-A. And I thought, I don't know what that word means. In Spanish, mal means bad, but it wasn't that. It was distinctly M-A-L-A. So I typed it out. And I wrote her and I said, look, Buddy keeps telling me about this word. I have no idea what it means. You're probably going to think it's ridiculous, but you know, just let me know. So she wrote me back and she said, I love the reading, but the one thing that stood out was mala, because Only two living beings in the world know what that word means to me. Me and Buddy. And she said, every morning when I wake up, I open my bedroom door. I invite Buddy into my bedroom. We sit down and we do the mala meditation. She said, nobody else in the world knows that.
Yeah, and you said that you were writing back and forth. So is it I'm just trying to understand your readings. Is it not always in person? How are these happening?
So it's never in person. It's all by email. And so what I did is they write me with the picture, the name, and the questions. And then when the reading date comes, I ask for a small fee for the reading because it takes me an hour and a half for everyone. Then I send them the long reading, and it's a long reading. And then after I send it, I don't expect to hear back from them, but she did. She wrote me back. And that was how it went back and forth afterward.
So you said you don't expect to hear back. How often do you hear back? I feel like if somebody were to have given me that information, I would have or at least wanted to maybe either kind of explain or justify some of what they said, or tell mm-hmm. them that, you know, it's a bunch of, yeah, I got nothing out of that. So
no, I hear back from everybody.
Yeah, I would hope so. Do you feel like you, is there ever times, and this is, you know, obviously with pets, it's a little bit different because, you know, they don't have those preconceived notions and biases built in, probably, where, you know, with humans, you're sometimes working against people that just don't believe. So it's harder to kind of break into those type of things. Do you ever have times where you get, you know, a picture, you get a story, and you're just like, it didn't work. I got nothing.
Yeah. So in the 20 years or 15 years I've been doing this, or 20, yeah, it's 20 years actually, since 2005. There were five or six times where I was not able to connect to the pet. Within those five or six times, most of them, in the case of most of them, I was actually connected to the pet who was in the next reading, but I didn't know that. And when I was doing the next reading, I would start and I would say, this sounds really familiar. And it was the reading before. So, you know, those five or six people said, you know, this reading, I don't understand this reading at all. And then I realized what was going on there. So, and I told them. So, yeah, you know, after 20 years, five or six, I think that's okay.
No, I think so too. I think this is really, really interesting. As a pet parent myself, with a 14-year-old dog that has lived quite the life, I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. So I think that's really, really awesome for sure. I want to kind of go into the other side of the maybe the lesser known parts of the things you do, and that's paranormal. What does that look like for you? You talked about how you help, you know, humans cross over. What does all that look like?
Sure. So I was part of a team called the Inspired Ghost Tracking Team in Maryland for a long time. And we would go into private homes that had possible hauntings after they went through an extensive questionnaire with the manager of the group to figure out whether or not it was legitimate, or if they were, you know, if they were trying to pull a fast one. We would go in. And then what we would do is, if we found something, if we weren't able to debunk it, we would try to communicate and find out the story, what was happening there, why any particular person remained earthbound as a ghost, and if they wanted to help to cross over. And that was our purpose. And it was to bring comfort to the living and to bring peace to the dead that were stuck behind. And it took a lot of energy. It takes about four or five living people to channel their emotional energy, if you will, to help open a doorway to the other side. And it took me a while too. I think it was a year ago that I finally figured out why ghosts actually don't have the ability to cross over themselves. And I look at them as a battery. So when we first pass, we are at maximum energy, like a battery. Over time, like a battery, that charge drops. Like a ghost, when you stay in a fixed place for a certain amount of time, your energy wanes. and it gets below a threshold that is not, that means that you can't open that doorway to the other side. And that's why I believe that ghosts get stuck.
So, and you know, the whole it being a battery and kind of losing its charge, mm-hmm. is another way to kind of explain, which I've never heard before, you know, why people, you know, I think I talked to somebody that kind of wrote a funny book that says, you know, why are ghosts in Civil War garb and not hair metal bands? And it was, they had an entire different thought process behind it about how, you know, people back then were a lot more, you know, in touch with kind of psychics and more kind of, they were more accepting of that. So that's the reason that they talked about that. But I guess it would make sense with your saying too. Do you find that, you know, the ghost you're dealing with maybe had passed over a lot longer ago, because I guess now, quote unquote, their battery is not charged enough to cross over? How do you explain that?
No, it can be ghosts from any time period. So when I went to England on vacation, and I wasn't expecting to, or I wasn't looking to connect to a ghost, I encountered a ghost everywhere I went, and they were from every century, from 1099 all the way up to present day, that decided to stay earthbound for one reason or another. So I think it's actually a relatively short period of time. It doesn't take a quarter century for them to lose their energy. Think of it this way, in terms of meteorology. Wind and rain are erosive. So, and they remove gravel, they remove sand. So that energy continues to pound against something and wear it down. So just like wind and rain, you know, time enables the energy to dissipate. It's like, look at it this way. Look at it like a solar lamp. It only has enough charge, and then after a while, it starts to fade out.
So what's that mean for what you do? Are you kind of metaphorically coming in with jumper cables, or how are you providing that charge?
Good question. So yeah. what paranormal groups do is we combine our emotional energy, and that's why it takes like four or five people, and we combine our emotional energy to create like a living battery to open a doorway to the other side. And I will tell you that after all the crossings that we've done, we always feel a burst of warm air, which I'm still working on explaining. But by the time it's all done, all of us are physically and mentally wiped out.
So let's kind of talk about, because when it comes to ghosts, that sometimes scares people. So what's your experience in that world? Are you're helping people cross over, so you're doing a service. Do you find that most of the experiences you have are just simply very you know, pleasant experiences? You know, people think about spirits, which could be different than ghosts depending on how you feel about all that, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's nefarious things happening too. So what, talk a little bit about I guess all of that, if you would.
Sure. So people maintain their personalities after they die. And when people transition to, they cross over and they become a spirit, they realize, they have an awakening that things they did or their some personality traits were not good. So that's why they're asking for forgiveness, usually on the other side. If somebody goes to a medium and they say, you know, your dad is asking for forgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. But ghosts don't have that. Ghosts maintain their bad personalities. So that's why prisons are haunted with some pretty troubling ghosts. So going into these places, you have to be prepared for whatever the personalities are. And really, not everybody wants to cross over. Some people still fear the other side. And you know, what I've been told is that there is no fiery pit. It's peace on the other side, but there's three levels. Most people who did wrong things go on the bottom level and stay there until they can get forgiveness to move to another level. So maintaining a connection with the the earthbound ghosts really depends on their personality, because some ghosts will be okay with talking to one person and not to another person. It's just like people in life.
Is there a difference then in ghosts and in spirits? Yeah.
Yeah, so the ghosts are the ones that are earthbound, and the spirits have crossed over. So spirits can find you. Right. Spirits can visit you anywhere, any place, any time in the world. So one of my dogs had passed away in 2005. He found me, or made me find, a lookalike of him in Puerto Rico when I was visiting. And it was not a coincidence. It happened to be the anniversary of the day he passed 4 years before. So not a coincidence.
Yeah.
But earthbound ghosts are different. They're stuck wherever they chose to stay. And they're not always nice. I did an investigation where there was a very hostile male ghost who did not want to cross over. In fact, he told everybody get out. We kept hearing get out on the digital recorders that pick up voices at different frequencies. Another one said kill Rob. So, he was a jerk, and and there he stayed.
So when we're talking about, quote unquote, haunted places, are what's haunting it generally ghosts that are bound to that place, or is it spirits that are just roaming around wreaking havoc?
No, it's ghosts. It's absolutely ghosts that are stuck there. If somebody lives in a house and it has a ghost, now in one particular investigation we did, there wound up being two women who were brutally murdered in the home, and we didn't know anything about it, but I connected to one, the other medium connected to another, and we put all the pieces together. They were earthbound ghosts, but that's not to say that the spirit of one of the mother, one of the family members who lived there wouldn't visit to try and protect them from the ghosts. So you can have earthbound ghosts, but spirits will only come in if there's somebody living there that they're trying to protect.
So we've talked a lot about all of this, but, we've not talked anything about, the side of things that, a lot of people see when it comes to ghosts and spirits. And that's kind of the religious aspects, the nefarious things being the devil and the spirits being holy and all that kind of stuff. Where are you at when it comes to, bringing religion into these things? Is that an entirely different conversation, or is that something that always is kind of goes hand in hand with the work?
So I'm a scientist, so I explain everything by energy. And I always tell people, no matter what religion you belong to, you can apply your religion to the science of energy. And I can only tell you what I'm told. So if it doesn't fit in your religion, you can choose to believe it or not to believe it. There are thousands of religions around the world. Who knows which one, if any, are correct. So that's why I look at everything from a science perspective, and let everybody make the decision by themselves.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of already answering a question that I have that we're going to table for a second, because I know people are listening to this, and we've talked so much about, the ghost and spirit world of things. And we talked earlier about pets, and I asked you to give examples. People are going to be like, I didn't care about the pet side of things. I want to hear the examples of, I love ghost hunters. I want to hear those examples. Talk about examples you have in the world of paranormal.
My latest book is called The Haunting of Emery Estate. And that was a 5-hour paranormal investigation of an historic property in Weymouth, Massachusetts. I did not know anything about the property. The person who coordinated the investigation, her name is Monique Toussoun. She's my co-author on the book. We wound up working together. There were three different ghosts there, all from different backgrounds. One was, we believe, a former resident. He gave us his name, and we kind of figured out who he was. The other one was a little boy that died on the property in an accident. And we were trying to help him, because when he died, he lingered too long. His charge went down. He was confused. So he went to the next nearest structure, which was the Emery Estate. And that's where he got stuck. And then there was a third ghost who was also not associated with the property, but he came associated with an old piece of antique furniture that belonged to his wife. And after he died, he attached himself to it so he could continue to watch her in the mirror. So all of these things came together. We tried to figure everything out. We tried to help the little boy. So it's a really interesting book because it includes the three different ghosts, why they were there, and basically what they wanted.
Were you able to successfully help all three?
No, we were not. And the reason is one did not want to go. The other one had no interest. One of them firmly did not want to go. And the one that firmly did not want to go prevented us from helping the little boy. So he showed his true colors, this guy, and he was pretty nasty. So at some point we are going to try and go back and help that little boy cross over.
No, that's powerful stuff for sure. And, you know, in asking that question, I brought up ghost hunters, and I don't even know all, I don't watch these shows, so I don't necessarily know them, but I hear that from my listeners when I bring people on, and, you know, because that's kind of what generated so much of this interest that people have at this point. So my question to you, and I like to ask this of all people in this world, is this: how do you feel about, you know, the reality television side of things? It's made it more main, like ghost hunting and paranormal more mainstream and less kind of, you know, on the fringes, but it's also kind of probably not true reality of what ghost investigations look like. You know, they have 30 minutes to probably take what took 8 hours to have happen. So do you think it helps more than it hurts, or it hurts more than it helps?
Well, there's good and bad to everything, and that's the way I look at it. The good part is that it generates an awareness that there is an afterlife, and that people make a choice. They can cross over or they stay earthbound. The bad part of that is that it does misrepresent actual investigations because, like I said, the one investigation at Emory Estate was probably the shortest one I've been on. It was 5 hours. And it was still unresolved. So we weren't able to resolve it because of the ghosts. The other thing, too, is that some of these ghost hunting programs will be disrespectful to the ghost, to the earthbound ghost. And we have to remember that ghosts are actually people. They're people or animals that lived before that made the wrong choice to stay earthbound. And I always tell people that you would not anger an invisible roommate, you know. So there's good and bad. I mean, certainly the awareness is something. And they've also they brought more people into that understanding. But some of the methods I don't agree with. I think we need to be more understanding and try to help not only the ghosts, but the people that live, that the living people that live with them, and educate them as well.
Yeah. In tying your two worlds together, are there animals that need help, or they got it figured out?
Animals are a lot smarter than people. and that's because they go with their instinct. As a dog dad, you know that, you know, your dog will probably know whether or not somebody is a good person or a not so good person. They also know where there's peace and where it's comfortable to go versus where there's danger. So they rely on their instincts, which unfortunately humans don't do that much. So when pets pass, and the doorway to the other side will open because they're at peak energy, they feel love and peace, and that's where they go. And they also go, they're also motivated to go there too, because our human loved ones that have passed and our pets that have passed before them are all waiting there on the other side. Mm-hmm. So they will go there. Humans are not that bright. Humans have hangups. Humans have fears about the other side. And humans, we make bad choices. And that's what being a ghost is, staying behind. That's a bad choice. So, yeah, pets make a much better decision. And I've only encountered 3 or 4 earthbound ghost pets. And one stayed behind because his mother was still alive. I mean, her mother was still alive, who is a girl. Her name is Fanny. When Fanny's mother passed, Fanny loved running to the door every day to greet people who would come in, and still does it today in the Museum of John Soane, a British architect in London. That's where I met Fanny. And she's happy. But most of the pets, 99.5%, will cross over.
This is an awkward question if it's not the case, but do you have family that you travel with?
My partner and I travel.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the only reason I ask that is just because, well, how does your family feel about all this? You know, you talked about going to this architect's museum, and then you're all of a sudden you're partnering up with Fanny. Are they receptive? Are they like, oh man, here's Rob. He's off talking to the dogs again.
Well, that was that was in the beginning when I met my partner, but but he joined the paranormal investigation group, so I don't get the eye rolls anymore.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, if you can't beat him, join him, right? Does he have any kind of I guess abilities himself?
Yeah, he's sensitive, but he doesn't like to use it. You know, I always joke with him. He's very quiet, very reserved, and I always, you know, he tells me, you go out in front of everybody and, you know, do what you have to do, and I'm going to stay in the shadows. And we compare it to like Dolly Parton and her husband Carl Dean, who never saw Carl Dean before he passed away, and she was always out in the front. And so, yeah, but we both have interest, and we both have knowledge of the paranormal, so it helps. Because I make him edit my books.
Oh, there you go. I think that's a key to a happy relationship. I think if you both were fighting for the spotlight, that may not work out so well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we all have our strengths.
Absolutely, for sure. And I want to, I guess, you've talked so much about, you know, the scientific side of things, and wanting to make sure that the things that you're saying and the things that you're you know trying to prove are factual. You're not, mm-hmm. You don't just go by, you know, the motion and the feeling and stuff like that. It has to have scientific backing behind it. So mm-hmm. I guess I've asked this of all people in this world, but you're more so than anyone else. I feel like you're the best person to answer it. And what do you say to people? And this is the one that you've already answered a little bit. What do you say to people who listen to, you know, talk of mediums and paranormal and all that, and just think it's just a crock? And, you know, you mentioned that you have a small fee, which you certainly should for, you know, providing a service, but mm-hmm. people are just like, you know, that's just a big old money-making Ponzi scheme or, you know, something like that. So what do you say to all that?
Talk to me when you're dead. Talk to me when you're dead, and then we can talk about the afterlife. But seriously, if you don't have an open mind, you will never accept it. It's people that have experiences that are the ones that are curious. I've had people come to me and say, I want a reading for my pet, but I'm 100% skeptical. I think this is going to be a lot of baloney. And I will tell them, I said, when you feel more comfortable, when you educate yourself about how it works, then come back and we can work together. It's like trying to teach somebody something they don't want to hear. You know, it's like going to geometry class when you hate math, right? You're going to like listen a quarter of the time, and you're not going to believe anything you hear. So it's really about having an open mind.
Yeah, no, I like the, you know, the talk to me when you feel a little bit more receptive. Have you always been able to be that way? I mean, have you ever fallen into the trap of being like, I need to prove myself, I need to show these people? Or have you always just been able to be like, the people that accept it are going to accept it, the people that don't?
Yeah, I've been that way. I'm an optimist. I always look for the bright light in people, and when I see people do not have that bright light, they need to learn how to develop it and then come back. I have to tell you, my whole purpose in this was to just write books and share my experiences, and through the books educate people about how things work that I've experienced. I never set out to do pet readings, ever. But since I published my Pets in the Afterlife book, I have been deluged with requests for readings. And for 10 years, I did not charge anything. For 10 years, 7 nights a week, I would spend hours and hours doing free readings for people. And, you know, after a decade, my partner's like, okay, you need to start charging something because we have no nights, we have no weekends, we have no vacation. You know, this is ridiculous. And he said it's true. He said it's a service, and it is. And honestly, I'm booked out a year from now, and I've been booked out a year for the last couple of years. And I try to get to them as quickly as I can, but there are so many people hurting. And I'm a very emotional guy. I want to help the world. Always like superheroes, by the way. Superman's my favorite. I've always wanted to save the world, but I realize I can only do it one person at a time. I can't help everybody at the same time.
No, I love that. I really do. I wanna get to your books. We've already talked about parts of what people are going to find in the books. I think you've written one, two, or maybe a dozen books at this point. You're well versed in as an author at this point, but talk a little bit about some of your books. It may be impossible to highlight them all, but maybe some of the ones that you know, people should jump into first.
Sure. So it depends on what they like. So I have three series of books, and that makes it easier to describe them. Certainly Pets in the Afterlife, teaching you how your pets communicate from the other side. And that is domesticated pets. So I can't communicate with wild animals because only domesticated pets know our ways, our language, our routine, and so forth. So they're filled with examples. There's also stories from other mediums communicating with their pets. There's a lot of science in there. There's behavioral science, so you can understand how they learn and so forth. And there's also chapters in the last two about from licensed professionals who help people with grief. So there's a chapter about how to deal with your grief and your loss. The other series of books is Ghosts versus Spirits, as we talked about, the Earthbound ones, which includes paranormal investigations, and then spirits of loved ones like your grandparents or anybody that may have crossed over, and how we give signs. So if you're looking for signs from loved ones, you know, whether you find a coin or look at the date on it, it will tell you who it is, birth or death. They may lead you to somebody that looks like them. You may hear their name mentioned, all kinds of things. So that's Ghosts versus Spirits. So paranormal investigations and spirits who've crossed over. And then the third series became kind of a fun series for me because whenever I went on vacation, I didn't want to, I didn't mean to, but I encountered dead people. So I call it Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. It's a compilation of history and hauntings in places like Ireland, England, and the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona. So after I came back and I put all these things together, I researched the history because I knew nothing about the history in any of these places. So you'll learn about history and you'll read about the hauntings in each place.
Is the book you were talking about earlier with the three spirits, is that in that series or is that something else?
That's in the Ghosts and Spirits series.
Ghosts and Spirits series.
It actually, the Ghost of Emery, the Haunting of Emery Estate actually may become its own series because you're the first to know this. I just finished writing the follow-up to that, which is about a haunted library that myself and Monique investigated in New Hampshire. And we found ghosts there. We crossed two over. And that book is coming out January 1, 2026.
So what made you decide that you wanted to add being an author to the repertoire? You said you're booked a year out, so it's not like you didn't have anything to do. So what made you decide, I want to start writing all these books?
Well, that's what I set out to do, is just write the books. And, you know, not I didn't want to do pet readings. I didn't set out to do them at all. But the demand is so overwhelming and people need comfort. So I do both. And I do fundraisers for animal rescues. I've worked with animal rescues actually for the last 20 years. All of our dogs are animal rescues. They're dog rescues. I do fundraisers for animal rescues up and down the East Coast. I teach paranormal courses at night for two adult education facilities. I give lectures in libraries. I'm going to a paranormal conference in Pennsylvania this weekend where I'll be talking about pets in the afterlife. So, yeah, so I never set out to do pet readings, but I do them because I want to help people.
No, I think that's powerful stuff. And I myself, I work in higher education. So the fact that you teach classes in this world, I think that's really, really cool. I mean, I try to take all, you know, just audit all of our interesting classes, whether, you know, it's cinema or history of rock and roll or death and dying. I guess that's as close as I can get to some of the stuff that you do. But what's the name of your paranormal classes? What does that look like? I think that has to be an interesting, I would assume, elective.
So they're all standalone classes, and there's about 13 or 14 that I present. One is teaching people how pets communicate from the afterlife. Another one is teaching people about how signs of human loved ones communicate from the afterlife. Then I will do lectures based on my books, like The Ghosts of England, The Ghosts of Ireland, different paranormal investigations, how to be a paranormal investigator, things like that.
That's awesome. I want you to tell people how they're gonna find your books. You know, this is normally when I say how can people connect with you. You've already got a long wait list, so maybe you don't need any more connections at this moment. But how can people find your book and any connection points you want to throw out?
Thanks, Jackson. They can find me on robgutrow.com. All my books are all on Amazon, and they're in paperback, they're in audiobook, they're in ebook, however you choose. And the thing about being a self-published author is that I price them at $10 or less because I want people to read them. I don't want to, you know, I read a lot of books. I don't want to pay $27 for a book. I want people to read them. So I price them low enough so that they're affordable. And that's my goal. I mean, really to just educate and comfort people. So they can get me on robgutrow.com. And if they can't spell that, G-U-T-R-O, they can go to petspirits.com.
All the links to those things will be in the show notes. I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks, Jackson. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
So that was Rob Guttrow. Absolute pleasure to speak with. I really appreciate him talking about the world of paranormal and the world of psychic medium and specifically about pets in a scientific way. Whether you believe in that stuff or not, this podcast is not here to change your mind in either direction. But I do appreciate him kind of bringing the scientific side of things rather than just the feelings and that kind of stuff. I think that goes a long way. Enjoyed his stories immensely. Just the talk about some of the different haunted locations, about some of the stories on the readings that he's done. You know, I think what we can all agree on is whether this stuff is true or not. You know, when the haunted location stuff is definitely entertaining, and then the pet stuff is if it can bring closure, if it can bring peace, it can make people happy, then I don't see a reason that it's a bad thing. So really, really appreciate Rob's time. Urge you to check out his books. If you want to know anything more about this haunted locations, about the pet psychic world, about several other things, he's written a ton of books and he just keeps on going. All the links in the show notes will have the ways to pick up those books. Urge you to check those out if you're at all interested. If you haven't already, go follow along to Rob. Go follow along to this podcast, Not Enough Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok, Not Enough Jackson F on Facebook. Go leave that 5-star rating on Apple and on Spotify. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps a ton. But we'll see you next time. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think. Or, hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.